How are we all? I hope you're all feeling festive a little bit. Trying to. Great, good. I'm really pleased. So we are kicking off a season in church where we're very much talking about Christmas, talking about, and we're also going to be preaching into Christmas. Often when we're planning Christmas in the office or just thinking through what we're going to preach on, it always comes back to we're just preaching on Christmas. No matter what little theme we've got going on. But I want to kick us off with a question, always fun, just while I sort out my microphone as well. Have a chat with the person next to you. Oh, there we go. What gives you the Christmas feels? Like, what makes you feel Christmassy? What gives you the Christmas vibes? Maybe some of you are cringing right now and you're like, I hate Christmas so much. Tough. You can't be a Scrooge today, I'm afraid. Chat to the person next to you. What gives you the Christmas feels? So what have we got? Shout out something that makes you feel Christmassy. Go on, shout it out.
Die Hard.
So let's put that in a bracket of Christmas film, yeah? That's your favourite, clearly. When it's over, that makes you feel Christmassy when it's over. I don't know how that works. It's not a good parallel. Go. Brilliant. You've literally nailed everything I'm going to talk on this morning. Yes, someone said it. So we're going to go for a series, and it's kind of called this, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and it's based on this little book here. It's a little tiny book, excellent. I just recommend this book, £2.50 for what it's worth, £2.50. If you know someone, I'll probably mention this again in a bit, but if you know someone, give them this book. If they're interested in Jesus at all, this is an excellent book to just share with people, to give to people. It talks about how it reflects on us in Western culture, how we, all of our festive traditions, they often point back, no matter what they are. It gives a few examples of like watching TV with family and things like that. And the one we're going to focus on is lights today. But how all of those things point back to the hope and the joy and the peace and the truth that we find in Christ. A very good book. Do recommend you to read it yourself, even if you don't really know the gospel at all. It tells you the gospel in there in a very Christmassy way. So as we preach, my prayer over the next couple of weeks as we preach this is that each year, as the season comes round, that you will start to reflect on whatever Christmas traditions you might have, that you will reflect on those in a greater Christ-centered way. And so I really want us to focus in today on this, on putting the lights up. This is the Holder Christmas tree. I did add a filter. Hashtag with filter. Yes, I don't know why I'm showing you our tree, but that's our tree. But it's weird. Actually, if you think about it is quite odd how much people love lights. Like how much, as human beings, we love Christmas lights. Okay, so we've done this for a while now. So in 1882, that was the first tree to have Christmas lights. Did you know before that, they put candles on it? Great idea. But 1882 was the first tree to have Christmas lights on. And the largest display of Christmas lights on a house has over 700,000 lights. And if you think about it even more, like every year in towns across the country, hundreds of people flock to it for the very purpose of lights being switched on, like by some unknown celebrity that you've never heard of.
Right? And then
around the country as well, this phenomenon at the moment is places, they're often quite posh places, but there's these places where they have light illuminations. So my parents love to go to Windsor Great Park because they're, but they go there. And my in-laws went to Blenheim Palace to just go and see some lights. Just walk around, and they're paying like £25 to go and look at some lights. And they're very pretty, they're very beautiful, but it is a little weird, isn't it? Like, it's slightly weird how much we love Christmas lights. So why? Why do we love light? Why do we feel Christmassy when we put the lights on? What's our obsession with light? Well, it's quite simple, really. It's quite simple, really. I don't know why it's done that. That was not what it should do. Anyway, it's not what it looked like on my laptop. Light is better than darkness. Light is better than darkness. That is why. And so most of us, deep down, instinctively, particularly don't like the dark, but we crave the light. We do this on a human level. So if you think about it, when it's dark upstairs, my children do not like going upstairs. They just don't. They're scared of it. There's a fear of the dark, and they've not watched horror movies, right? They just don't want to go upstairs because there's something about it that they don't like on a human level. Biologically, during this season, during the winter months, there is something called seasonal affective disorder, and it's a clinical type of depression. It affects people during the winter months. There's biologically something there. Practically, what is the first thing you do when you walk into a room and it is dark is you turn the light on. You don't think about, shall I turn the light on in here? No, we turn it on. We do it. We do it in the way that we speak. We say how much we dislike the darkness in how we speak. We tell people, don't worry. When they're going through a tough time, don't worry. There's light at the end of a tunnel. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Don't worry. In culture, across the globe, every single major world religion has a festival or has a story that centers on light in some sort of way. And it's just inbuilt within us. And you might be someone who's like, well, I prefer the winter months. I like the dark. Well, you only like the dark because there is some form of light. Like, you don't actually, like, do you really? Do you really just want to sit in total pitch black? Like, I don't think anyone does, do they? It's just, no, we don't, right? John 1, so we're going to be in John 1 this morning. That's where we're going to be. So we're not preaching from this book, right? We're preaching from this book. So turn to John 1 with me. We're going to be there in John 1. And he says, turning it over. So we're going to be in John 1, right at the start, 1 to 13. And it just shows us, this book, it shows us our craving for light is on a biblical level too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And there was a man, this isn't Jesus, this was John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to testify concerning that particular light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he only came as a witness to the light. Who is this light? He is the true light that gives light to everyone. And he was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. That's what Jesus has done this Christmas. That's what Jesus is all about. So we humans, we love light, and we say that light is better than darkness, but how? What we can only know that light is better than darkness when we know what darkness is. When we know what the darkness around us is. In verse 5 it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So what is the darkness? How is our world that we live in, how is it dark? Why is it dark? In the Bible, the word darkness, it refers to evil, it refers to ignorance, and that means that the world is in darkness because there is evil and because of suffering. If you consider the time that John is writing, he's writing during a time when there was a lot of violence, where there was total injustice, where there was abuse of power, where there was homelessness. It was vast, the homelessness in that time. There was refugees were fleeing because of oppression and because of violence and disaster. It sounds very similar to our day. And the other way that the world is in darkness is that we don't know how to cure it. We don't know how to cure the evil and the suffering that we find in our world. Earlier, Gina read from Isaiah 9, verse 6, and just a few verses before that, it says this: "The people were walking in darkness, have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned." It's a very famous Christmas verse that we use. But when we look, if we go back a chapter to chapter 8 of Isaiah, in chapter 8, we see just how the people, they have been trying to cure this evil. They've been trying to cure this darkness. They've been trying to get a light from somewhere. And they have found it that there is no cure. There has been no way of bringing light, even though they have tried. They try in many different ways. And this is still the case for us today. We think that in our world, in the Western world, in Western UK, in Bognor Regis, we think that we can overcome darkness in a couple of ways. We think we can do it with our intellect. If we get the brainiest people together, we can solve the problem of darkness in our world. We think that our clever medical or social intervention and innovation, well, that will fix it all. We think better healthcare will fix the problem. We think that better political systems will fix the problem. Our ability to improve education, well, that if we educate people enough, then we can solve the problem. And yet, we are in a country which has a lot of that. It has a lot of all those solutions, and it is still pretty dark. Merry Christmas. And if you think about it, even in an age where we are in more peace and more prosperity in it than we ever have known in the whole of history, and we still know that this world is not quite right. It's not quite as it should be. That's pretty dark, right? We are more in John and Isaiah's day than we want to believe, than we even realize. And so my question is to you, how do you deal with the darkness? Do you go to one of those solutions of innovation, healthcare, education, all of those things? Maybe a better way of asking the question is this: what is your light? On a personal level, what is your light? What's the light that helps you? When life feels really hard, whether it's on a global or a personal level, what do you look for reassurance? Well, I could be reassured if I knew this. What helps you to say, it's going to be okay? Maybe your light is just ignore the darkness. If I just ignore that, all right, then it'll be okay. Buddhism would teach that darkness is an illusion. That it's not really as bad as it looks out there. It might be your light is just working harder, right? There's this current phenomenon of manifesting. It's another form of positive thinking, really, and it just encourages us to believe it, to think hard enough, and it will happen. If you manifest enough, you can reach that goal, you can fix that problem. Maybe maybe your light is just be kinder. All right? The world would say that Christmas, we said it earlier, 'tis the season to spread good cheer. Right? The world would say that Christmas is a time when we put the world back together through living in peace and love and being kind to each other. The problem is, right, these are not all of these are bad, okay? Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, right? This isn't all bad. But the problem is these are temporary lights. That's all they are these temporary lights. And eventually temporary lights, what happens to them is that they fade. January will come. January does come. Ignoring the darkness, working hard, being kindness, it doesn't solve the deeper problem in the darkness. And the deeper problem in the darkness is our death. Our spiritual and physical death in our world. This is where the light of Christmas is different. This is where the light of Christmas is different. If you look at John 1 again, right at the beginning, he says, in the beginning, where does our light come from? Where does the light of Christmas in the Christian faith, where does that light come from? The Christmas light that we see in the Bible, it does not come from in ourselves. It comes from outside of us. It comes from out of us, not inside ourselves. The light of Christ at Christmas, it hasn't come from within. It isn't our positive thinking or our effort or just being kind to people. That would make it temporary. It comes from outside of the natural order. So what is this light like? Right? We all know that light is better, but what is this light that Jesus offers? Why is that better? Why is the light at Christmas, why is the light of Christ so appealing? Why does it appeal to people? Well, firstly, light gives life. Light gives life. This Christmas light gives life. 1 John, it's quite hard to say light and life quite quickly. In 1 John 4, in him was life. And that life was the light to all mankind. Think for a moment, just on a scientific level, all right? Light, the sun, our source of light, the sun, right? Light is the source of all life on this planet, factually, all right? Without light, we got nout. There's nothing here, right? The light is the foundation for every single ecosystem under the water as well as above it. All right, on this planet. Without light from the sun, our planet would be too cold, it would be lifeless, and it would be barren. That is what it is. This physical reality of the sun, right, it just mirrors our spiritual state. We mentioned a minute ago that our world is full of darkness and we can't fix it, all right? Isaiah 9 is we are walking in darkness, and then in John 1, we get Jesus stepping into the picture. And what is he doing? In him was life. There's new life. Just as sunlight brings life and truth and beauty, Jesus brings life and truth and beauty into our lives. Without the sun, we freeze. We can't exist on this planet. Without God, we cease to exist. Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. We exist primarily, ultimately, because God sustains us. He holds us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We see in John 1 that he is making echoes back to Genesis. When he says, in the beginning, he's going, do you remember what you read in Genesis, Mr. Reader or Mrs. Reader, who's reading this? Go back to Genesis. The story of Genesis is, in the beginning, you lost it. You had original warmth with God. The sun was shining in your life and there was life to the full and it was flowing and there was warmth with God. But because sin comes in and death comes in, you are cold. There is a disease which has impacted all humanity. That's the story in Genesis 1. And then you get to John 1 and he's saying, here's a new creation. There's a new start. This isn't going to end the way Genesis ends. It's not about death. This is about life. It's a different story. With the light of Christ comes the promise of life. This is a new creation story being written in John 1. And through Jesus,
our Christmas light. We have been given hope. We have been given meaning. We have been given the power to overcome the dissatisfaction in our life, to overcome our shame, to overcome our identity struggles, to overcome our inability to change. He has said, in me is life. There is life in Christ. That is the message of Christmas. That is the message of the light that comes at Christmas. And that is one that the world does not have and can never offer us. The light has come, warmth has come, new life has come. Verse 4, and the darkness cannot overcome it. If you are a Christian, there is life in you. You have a new life, a new being. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Not because of your strength, not because your inner self. No, because he has won you. He has given you life. And that's why the darkness has gotten out on you. So it brings life, but also light at Christmas shows truth. We love Christmas lights for their beauty. We love them for their sparkle, but God's light isn't just decorative, right? It isn't just like the tree over here, nice blue twinkly lights over there. No, it reveals truth. It reveals truth. Even the truths that we're like, I'd rather you didn't go there. I'd rather you didn't touch that, God. I'd rather people didn't see that, please. Just picture for a moment that you're driving along and you have no headlights on. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to, if you're really, really clever, you'll stop. You will crash. You can't see the tree coming towards you. You can't see the pothole along Shripney Road. You can't see them. You can't see that bend there, that sharp bend. You miss the turnings. You're likely to crash. Headlights are really helpful because they expose what is there. But here's the challenge. When God's light shines, it doesn't twinkle like that tree. It's not its purpose. It's not twinkling like that tree. It doesn't expose the darkness that's out there only. We think, oh yeah, I'm really pleased God's light shines on injustice. But then we look out there, but it's shining it on the injustice in our heart. It shines on the sin and the shame in our heart. It shines on our pride. It shines on our brokenness. So often we respond like those in verse 11. Look at verse 11, right? The creator of the universe comes to the world. He's come to preach life to them, but his own did not receive him. They weren't bothered. They said, no, I prefer not to turn my headlights on. We don't want to see what the light is shining on. The truth is, many of us, we prefer to drive in the dark. So the challenge for us is, where are you and I resisting his truth in our lives? Where are you resisting the truth in our lives? Where are you saying, I'm all right, I'm going to go drive in the dark. I don't need no headlights. Like, where are you doing that? It's not an easy question for us to own. All right, just imagine opening these two books at Christmas. You open one, you're like, oh, brilliant. I Can Make You Thin by Paul McKenna. Wonderful. Just what I wanted. And then you open the next one, and it's this one. Stop Being Selfish. Stop Being Selfish. Even the best actor in the world will struggle to say, thanks. I really needed these books. You got it down to a T. These are the books I really, really, really need. To say thank you is us admitting, yeah, I'm fat. I'm selfish. Right? We would struggle. Accepting Jesus as the Christmas light reveals truth a little like this. When we say yes to Jesus, we are telling the world we are lost. I'm lost. I'm broken. I'm broken. That nothing less than the life and the death and the resurrection of the Son of God can save us. Christ didn't come so we could enjoy twinkly lights in December. He came to bring a light that shines truth into the darkest depths of our sin, of our shame. And he said, I want to deal with it once and for all. And he didn't stop at Christmas. We think, oh, let's preach Christmas. Brilliant. We can talk about the baby in the manger. And no. He doesn't stop at Christmas. All right? He goes even darker. Right, he descends into ultimate darkness, is what Matthew 27 describes it like, when he goes to the cross. And he does that so that we see why he does that in 1 Peter 2:9, so that we can step into God's glorious light. He goes into the darkness so we can step into light. That's what he does. And this is the profound and beautiful truth of Christmas. The light of the world shines not to just give us comfort. It's not just saying, here, have some life. But to confront our sin, to deal with it head on, not just to illuminate the issues in our lives. He wants to transform it. He wants to transform us. Christmas isn't about the pretty lights. It's about the light that has overcome the darkness. And it says, come and walk in it with me. This light at Christmas, it is also exceedingly beautiful. I loved as a teenager probably, I would go with my family to London and we'd walk and just look at the Hamleys. We'd love to see the decorations in Hamleys particularly, because you get to go into Hamleys and it's like the coolest toy shop in the world. But the Christmas lights are beautiful. They're stunning. All right, Bognor High Street looks much nicer this time of year in the evening than it will in February. It just does. And just as Christmas lights are stunning as they illuminate the night sky, so too is the person of Christ to those who are looking for him. Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Augustine writes, our hearts, this is true of all humanity, our hearts are restless until they find rest in him. Church, if people are restless, and if the message of Christmas is actually quite good, what are we doing? What are we doing about it? What are we do you think Jesus is that amazing? What are we doing about it? How this Christmas will you reflect the beautiful and true and good and life-giving light of Christ? And if you're someone who says, well, I'm not very good at evangelism, this is what Jesus says to you. You are the light of the world. That's what he says in Matthew. So Matthew goes a step further than John does even. This is what Jesus says to believers. You are the light of the world in the same way. So we're to replicate Jesus in this world. We are light in this world. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus was active. Just as light cannot be hidden and is beautiful, in the same way, us as Christians, we are to be light this Christmas season. We are. That's why we're singing carols in the street. That's why we're putting on a carol service. That's why we invite people to it. Right? How will you personally, right? I can't answer this for you. How will you personally this Christmas be light? How will you shine this Christmas? Here's a simple way, all right? It links a little bit to what we just said a minute ago, actually. Bless someone. Just bless someone. Like, be kind is not that hard. And actually, people see something different. When we are kind and we show the kindness of God, it is a fruit of the Spirit. When we show that, people go, oh, this is different. Be kind. All right, rather than buy your neighbor a Christmas card, buy them a gift. Go that one step further. Bless that colleague. Buy a gift for your colleague you find really tricky. Just challenging you. It's simple. We try and complicate it sometimes, the gospel. It's active. It's not as hard as we sometimes think it to be. More challenging, but this is what Jesus calls us to. Welcome people into your house this Christmas when it is inconvenient. Find someone who might be on their own this Christmas and bless them. There's something quite simple, but it's actually hard to do that. Right? It might be an inconvenience to us to be people who spread the gospel. And we're like, really? Matthew, you are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds. Why? So they may glorify your Father in heaven. We want people to know it. We sang earlier, the gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. You are the Lord. Do you believe it? Do you actually believe that the gospel is the only hope for the darkness in our world? Because if so, what are we doing about it? As a church, what are we doing about it? Tell people about the light of Christ, right? John the Baptist is described in verse 8. He himself was not the light. Okay, we can think, I am the light. Oh, the church is the light. No. The church is not the light. The church points, right? He himself was not the light. He came as a witness to the light. We are pointers. We are pointers to the point. That's what we do. So who are you going to invite to the carols? Who are you going to buy this book for? I'm just challenging. I want to challenge you this Christmas. Right? We are to be light. Let's be light. The beautiful Christmas lights we see at night as we wander the streets, they are mini imprints of who we are called to be in this world. If Jesus is that beautiful, we need to be telling people he is that beautiful. He's that amazing. He is that good. So all morning, I've spoken about light. And here's just one final stat for you. Just to remind you how beautiful this message at Christmas is. Right? This is our light source, the sun. And this is the earth. Okay? This is a nice... Oh, it's just a nice little picture. But just bear with me for a second. All right? Did you know that light from the sun, so that distance between the sun and the earth, that is 93 million miles. That's a long way. I've walked far, but I ain't walked 93 million miles. All right? Just to put that into context, we can't travel that far in a car in less than 176 years. All right? Light from the sun... So the speed that light travels to get to the earth travels at 186,000 miles per second, right? If you were to blink, that would be going around the earth 7 times in the space it's taken you to blink. That's how fast it travels, right? Us humans, Usain Bolt clocked the fastest speed in history as a human being at 27 miles an hour. It's a bit slower. Light gets from the sun to the earth. It does so in 8 minutes, where it takes us 176 years. Right? We can't even make that journey. So if we were to go from earth to the sun, the closest we can get is 4 million miles to the sun. That's as close as we can possibly get to the sun. The link I'm making, I think you can probably add up a little bit if you've been a Christian for a while, right? This is our relationship with God. This is our relationship with God, right? We can't travel far enough. We can't travel fast enough. We can't travel even close enough to it. And yet, in John 1:9, says this, the true light that gives light comes to the world. God knows. God knows we can't make that journey. And so what does he do? He comes to us. Christ at Christmas is the only solution to the problem that we have in our world. The problem of the broken relationship we have with God. He is the one who makes the journey. He is the one who comes at Christmas. He is the one who gives light and life and warmth and truth and is so stunning that we can say, yeah, light is better than darkness. People often think the Christmas story is corny and sentimental, but it is a story about a journey that goes crazy distances. A journey none of us can do. So as you hang your Christmas lights up on hooks or on the pine needles of your tree, as you drape them around there, remember the true light, the one who hung on a tree, the one who hung there for you and I, so that we could get within 4 million miles of him. we could actually get closer than forming. We can know him intimately through his Holy Spirit, which lives inside us. The one who went the distance that we could never do. And he went the distance to the point where he is hung on a wooden tree to allow us to be able to call him Emmanuel, God with us. The one who radiates beauty more than the most finely decorated house with 700,000 lights on it. The one who shines his torch on the truth that we do not want to face. But also he is the one who gives light and life when all around is darkness. That's who he is. This is who the Christmas light is. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing. Our one response this morning is very simple. It is to sing. So let's stand up. Band are going to come up. And I just want to encourage you with this. This is what putting up the Christmas lights is all about. The Christmas lights that we see over there and in the street and in our houses, it is to remind us that light is better than darkness. That he gives life. That he shows truth. That he goes crazy distances. That this message of Jesus is beautiful. We go, oh, they're pretty lights. No, Jesus is way more beautiful. This is what putting up the Christmas lights is all about. It's about the light of the world who stepped down into darkness, who opened our eyes to see the beauty that was made for our hearts to adore him, that we have a whole life to spend with him. That's our future. That's our present. And that is our past if you're a Christian this morning. And that is what we're going to celebrate. It's what we're going to give God glory for. That's what we're going to thank God for his light in our life.